Hey, welcome back to the Protectors Podcast. We're in season two. Can you believe it? Episode number four. I have Tim Cochran on today. Great guest. Great person. Semper Fi. That means he's a Marine. There is no former Marine. He's a Marine veteran. So, hey, let's bring him in. What's going on, Tim?
You're coming from the heart of the epicenter of COVID-19, New York City. Nothing like a Brooklyn Marine on your show.
For some reason, I thought you were in Atlanta.
No. With this accent, they don't even let me in the state. What the hell?
No. I don't think you could really get past Washington, D.C. before they actually stop you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. You got to change the plate, especially in this day and age. Hell, they won't let you in New Hampshire right now. Never mind Georgia.
Oh my gosh. I took a road trip with the family last week, like a little field trip. Cause my kids are young, like 10, my son's going to be 12. And as soon as we like started getting on a road, it says, look, if you are from like New York, New Jersey and Connecticut or something, you have to self quarantine for 14 days. I'm like, man, we are not going anywhere near those states.
No, you're a smart man. It's been insane. I mean, even I've been locked up here now for 7 weeks, and it was surreal. My last day in the city, walking through Grand Central Station at rush hour, and 11 people, where usually it's asshole to belly button. So
I'm from Jersey, and my dad's from Brooklyn originally. And it's last time I was in New York, it was like just people to people, man. And I have a friend out there now and he sent in pictures and it's like something off that movie I Am Legend, where there's like just tumbleweed going down the streets.
No, it's very surreal. I mean, I survived September 11th. I was right by the World Trade Centers when they went down worked on the pile for the week afterwards. And, it saw all of lower Manhattan change forever, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I lost my home in Sandy. I live here in the Rockaways, right outside New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a view of the city in front of me. But I never experienced anything like we're experiencing right now. I mean, it's just absurd. And you can imagine what it's like for the poor guy or gal coming out of the military. Imagine transitioning right now, right? I mean, what a nightmare.
I give ACP a ton of credit, and I'll tell you my backstory with ACP back in the day in a few minutes. But I think when we're talking about world landscapes now, it's completely changed. And I think that's going to be something that, we're all going to have to adapt to, especially nonprofits and veteran service organizations and everybody helping out the community. And I can see you guys are adapting. I saw you on the Burr Biz the other night. I see you're spreading the message throughout. You specifically are being way more vocal in the podcast spheres from what I could tell, man. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, listen, here's the thing. You know, when you think about, look, I remember my own TAP experience, right? It was listening to Charlie Brown's teacher up there going, wah, wah, wah. It was like, give me my DD-214 and get me the hell out of here.
You didn't want to do TAPs.
Yeah, I didn't want to do any of that. And so, and I can definitely imagine that our veterans now are still experiencing that. They're getting hit from every angle with all these, there's thousands of opportunities out there. How do you weed through it all and not become jaded and say, it's just one more thing they're trying to get me to go to their website or something. So my thing is always be real. Look, you don't get more real than a Marine from Brooklyn who's out there saying, hey, knucklehead, if you don't take advantage of this, you're nuts. I mean, because it's literally that good.
I know. As we were getting this podcast set up, we had technical difficulties. I was waiting for you to rip my ass out. I was like, hey, whoa, I'm trying, man. Yeah. I'm trying. No,
it's like, what the hell, Jason? Let's go.
Whoa, at ease.
Time is money.
I have to, here's the deal is, years ago, and this ACP is more than just, it's to help pretty much any veteran. Cause I was working for the federal government and I was, this was 2012, 2013, just came off a big, leadership thing. I was a former captain, former E4, mafia, you know, in the army. And I wanted to really talk to someone in the corporate world that could help me revamp some of the federal crap I was seeing, you know, and who better than that than to reach out to ACP and get a mentor. And my mentor helped me understand the corporate environment and how I can implement that into a federal workplace. So it was more than just getting a job. It was more than just, hey, we're going to give you some skills so you can get a job. It was more like, hey, you're a veteran. We're going to help you do other things as well. Using that information, I went on to get the my Lean Six Sigma green belt, get my black belt now. But just because the ACP mentor had at the time, I got the business process down. So one thing I really want to really give kudos to, and one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on here, was to say ACP is more than just what you think it is, if that makes sense.
No, no doubt. You know, I do recruiting of mentors too, right? So it's a twofold approach. One, I have to get mentors to realize that, hell, this is a veterans program for the veterans so that they have a great transition. But what they don't realize is that 99%, literally 99% of the mentors come away saying, hell, I got more out of this than the veteran did.
Yeah.
You know, so
MDMP.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, if you have a job in corporate America, you're going to be a great mentor for the guys and gals coming through me because, you know, they could be, you know, look, as we both know, not your veterans aren't these great patriots who are joining the military, you know, and they're not all that. They're, hell, this is the best option in town for me coming out of high school because there's no jobs down the road and there's this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm coming out and I have this degree that I took advantage of. You know, but I was a truck driver in the Marine Corps, and now I have a marketing degree, and I never worked anywhere other than, you know, my father's gas station. How do I bring all those worlds together? And that's where the mentor is ideal. You know, it's especially in this environment. Look, thousands and thousands, unprecedented unemployment.
I know, and there's something, there's ways to get into it. I always tell people, so I do Hire Heroes USA. No. It's not Hire Our Heroes, it's Hire Heroes USA. And I always help vets with their mentors because I've been federal law enforcement for 20 plus years now. And I always try to tell them, I'm like, look, you have a LinkedIn profile, you have this, you have that and everything, but you've learned one thing in the military. I don't care if you are a private or you got out as an E3, 4, E5, whatever, or a junior grade officer, whatever, you know what MDMP is. You know what a 5-paragraph operations order is. The military decision-making process is as simple as go build a foxhole over there. This is how you're going to do it. You have to do it by this time. Who, what, when, where, how, et cetera. Same thing with a 5-paragraph op order. You have something critical that not everybody in a civilian world has. So when you're building out these resumes, these LinkedIn profiles and everything, use what you know. You were not just that truck driver from Brooklyn. You're not just a, you know, whatever, mailman. You're not just an infantryman, now infantry girl. You have such a awesome background. That's why I like programs like ACP, because you were taking a corporate member, marrying them up with a service person, and boom, you're both learning.
Yeah. Hey, look, almost 80% of our mentors never serve, right? So they're sitting there and helping you translate skills. As you've heard me say, you know, I was the mine detector repairman in Guantanamo Bay. Who the hell was looking for a mine detector repairman in Lower Manhattan when I got out of the Marine Corps? Absolutely no one. And so now how do I get a job? I got great technical skills, you know, great communication.
They're giving back. And
that's it.
Yeah. It's such a, I love the program. And how did you get involved with it though? And now you're the SVP. So that's not a, that's not something shortchanging here. You were like one of the top tier people of ACP.
Well, you know, so ACP had a, I was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I spent over 30 mm-hmm. years at the exchange. I started down there as a technician in the early 80s. Like I said, the guy who ran technology at on the floor was a former Marine. And he felt that if I could survive Paris Island, he could train me. And so I was walking around fixing the ticket tape machines. And there was one guy who used to break his machine all the time. And one day the exchange came down and said, look, we don't care how much money you make. You break this damn machine one more time and your ass is out of here. Mm-hmm. And so he grabbed me and he said, hey, Timmy, why don't you stand here? I'll give you $100 a week. You fix the machine before they find out that I broke it. Because the guy would have a bad trade. He'd stick his ham sandwich in it. And so, you know, that went on for a few weeks. He said, you know what? You seem like a smart enough kid. How about I make you my clerk? And you could fix the machine at the same time. And, you know, 2 years later, I was a member of the New York Stock Exchange, you know. So I had a great career on the street. And but technology overran us, right? After September 11th, the whole financial markets changed forever. And so guys like myself who were in the middle of what technology could do, kind of the business went away, the execution business on stock exchange. Though I still have a firm there that I still work with, but it gives me more access to corporation. But I was looking for something where I could give back. You know, it was, let me find this next career where, you know, I've been on the board of a dozen different nonprofits. And, you know, it's one thing to say you're on a board. It's another thing to say that you could actually work in one and make a difference. And I found ACP. I mean, they had at the time about 60 corporate partners. And one of the things that the founder, Sid Goodfriend, who founded us, I mean, Sid happened to be walking into the World Trade Center on September 11th when the second plane flew over his head. And so he founded ACP because he knew every job he ever got, somebody had opened a door for him and felt he wanted to give the same thing back to the veterans. And so I had all these corporate contacts. At the same time, I had done everything from been involved in the exchanges back office to run for Congress. So I had a big community presence also. And I just felt, you know, when I saw ACP and I said, geez, connecting these guys and gals, I remembered my transition very, very clearly, even though it was 20 or 30 years earlier, that I remember going on 20, you know, interviews I had no business being on. So it connected right away. I went into Sid. He was looking to hire a president at the time. And when we talked, he was like, told me about the Citizens Program, which is, you know, you think of ACP, you think of all these corporate partners. Well, we built a program there at ACP that has everything from FBI and, you know, Homeland Security to undersecretaries of the VA, former educators, cops, firemen, you name it. Any career path that you could possibly think of, we pair. We have individuals who come into us. Heck, we just launched with former members of Congress, sent out a mentor recruitment, and we're getting former members of Congress as mentors. So no matter what career path you're looking at, you know, ACP can provide you somebody. And so we built that program.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I when I did it, it was, 8-9 years ago already. Holy crap, time is starting to fly. Yeah. Jesus. But
sure does.
Yeah, I didn't realize you guys are branching out. So count me in. I will definitely be a mentor for your organization.
There you go.
And I know a ton of people within, you know, because I do Hill Vets now too. I did Hill Vets.
That's true.
Which is, you know, taking, you know, service people and getting them experience on the Hill. And I love it. I love, because I'm right outside of DC. So it's like, why not take advantage of it? And I think a lot of us in the veteran community, especially those ones that had some form of success, whether albeit in it and not a monetary success, I always try to tell people that, but just some sort of, you've kind of made your way through the path and you want to share that with other veterans and other transitioning military people. And I think there's plenty of us out there, and there's plenty of people who never served that want to help. And that's what a great thing about this ACP program. It's just incredible, man.
Yeah, and that's what we need. I mean, we literally get 30 to 40 new applications from veterans a day. So I am constantly running. And I mean, I'm looking at small look, there's only one General Motors, right? And we're blessed to have them. But there's hundreds of smaller automotive companies that I need. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, you get a kid who just left small town USA and joined the Marines, goes in, does 10, 15 years, comes out with all these great skills. He left home. He didn't know what was down that dirt road. And it might be a tool and die shop that has 200 employees that are making parts for Johnson Controls, you know? So I need those companies to step up and say, hey, just like you said, we want to help veterans.
And there's a lot that, and it's a, there's an economic advantage to helping out the veteran community as well. There is. There's a lot of minutia when it comes to hiring veterans and those with disabilities, et cetera. But the optics of trying to get the message out there is, it's tough. And that's why I see you hustling on social media and all the other platforms, being on podcasts like this, because you have to. Nowadays, you have to revamp your strategies and get the message out there. And I always say this all the time about the ripple effect. Maybe you find a small company through one of these podcasts that's listening and goes, oh, damn, I didn't know that. Like tonight, I didn't know you guys were revamped a little bit, and you have mentors within the other communities. That's ideal.
Hey, and our program's open to military spouses, active duty spouses also.
Oh, wow.
Last year, you know, Sid decided we've got to start. You want to talk about the underserved in the military. It's your military spouse, right? So he reached out to some of our partners and got them to fund the spouses program. So now if you're right now, it's active duty military spouses. Yeah. But the mentors from that, everything from Lean In and Elevate and all these big professional women, obviously 95% of your spouses are women. Yeah. But look, there's plenty of men spouses in our program also who have put their lives on hold for their partner. And it's really incredible. You know, I don't know if you know Mike Quinn, my buddy Mike Quinn.
He's the LinkedIn guru.
He is. And he's a guy who, you know, he knew how hard his transition was. And same thing, you know, this is a guy who's a command sergeant major, and he'd see those blank stares and he'd get these, stupid questions. There's no stupid questions, but questions that you would think that they should know of his troops coming out. And, you know, he got in there and just started really talking about it. So Mike and I got together about 3 years ago, and we're having dinner, and he was telling me about his life every 2 years moving. I was like, dude, I married an Italian girl and bought her a brick house in Brooklyn. She ain't going nowhere.
Nope.
Imagine having to pick up your kids and your wife and your family and every 2 years, you know, leaving ballet school or sports teams. I mean, it's how unfair to a family at times, not to mention your spouse. Has great education, has great background, and a lot of their skills doesn't translate to the travel, right? Everything from the certifications and licenses from state to state and all this nonsense.
I've met so many spouses that have like MBAs, doctorates in education. They've been principals. They've been this, they've been that. And who's going to hire them knowing that they're only going to get them for maybe another 3-4 years before they transition out?
If even that, 2 years. And, you know, so you'll hear time and again, oh, all I could get was, you know, a person at the point of sale for Target, you know, and yet she's got an MBA. And you say to yourself, my gosh, if I had you as part of my team, you know, what a difference. But anyway, our program is open to spouses, and we're trying to get them in also.
But you have a sales package there, because if you have a spouse, you have them for 2 to 3 years, they can go into one of these small businesses, revamp them, get them up to where they should be. Because a lot of times the organizations, you know, a lot of the companies don't have vision. A lot of them are reactive. A lot of them are getting there. They hire one of these spouses, whether it's a man or women, man or woman, and they put them to work, and they have them for 2 to 3 to 5 years, revamp their organization, and then boom, they're good to go.
Yeah.
At one time, I was a spouse just about to get out of the Army, and my wife was deployed to Bosnia, and I used to go to all the family support groups. I was just little specialist piccolo back then, but I was transitioning at the same time. She was about to, you know, redeploy. And it was the same thing. It was like, I'd go to TAPS. How was it called, TAPS back in the 90s? I think it was. I do my little 2-week transition.
I never heard of it, TAPS, until I got out of it now. So
it was like, here, we're going to teach you Windows 93 or Windows 95, and you could do your resume handwritten. But there's so much that spouses have within them as far as education and just real world experience. And yeah, no, I really appreciate what ACP is doing with that.
And look, for our companies, first of all, if you're a mentor for a company, for anybody, you're going to professionally develop. You're going to personally develop. Yep. And if it's a company that's putting this thing, hell, 99%, like I said, our mentors are glad that their company participates in ACP. Mm-hmm. So you got a community service program that your people are meeting you in the hall or coming out of the elevator and saying, holy smoke, Mike, yep, you know, this was the best program I've ever been part of. Two, it's a great way to identify talent. And at a cost, I mean, for what it costs them to go to job fairs and put on these fairs where they might find 2 or 3 people, you know, who knows better than, you know, an AIG employee who fits AIG than their own employees.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need to put out an Indeed, a Monster application, or in the federal government, you don't have to come up with job descriptions and, you know, EINs and everything else you could possibly imagine to try to hire one good employee out of 100 interviews.
But here's the thing too. Yeah. How many of our guys, you know, 60% of our men and women have bachelor's degree or higher, but 40% don't. Hell, I don't. So if I send my resume out with all my background and the job nobody's even going to look at it. It doesn't make it through the algorithm on Indeed. But now all of a sudden,
absolutely,
you know, Jason's my mentor and he's hearing me and saying, hey, this guy's 35 years old. He's got 10 years of military experience. He's managed a budget, managed troops. Hell, you're going to pick up the phone and call HR and say, hey, look, I got this guy here.
Yeah.
He'd be great on our team. And that's why we get the results that we get. And look, listen, I was listening to a self-help, one of these, the TED Talks.
I love TED Talks.
Yeah, great stuff. There was a gal on there. Don't make me quote her name. She's going to be mad. I didn't even give her a plug. But she was talking about self-help. And she was saying, there's no such thing. Even the guy who writes the manual that you're picking up, or the guy who's you're going to the YouTube, you need that guy's help. There's no such thing as help. You can't do this on your own, man. You need help. And so, you know, it's way too often we're taught in the military, you know, hey, especially us knucklehead Marines, you know, we could do anything, go through walls and you know, we're invincible. Well, hell, take a look at Grand Central Station right now, brother. Yes,
I know.
You
know,
when it comes to employment, you need all the help you can get.
You know, I agree. And networking is key. I got my current federal job through networking, which is unheard of in the government. But it's becoming more prevalent. I tell people all the time, I'm like, networking is beyond the old scope of, okay, I'm going to go to a dinner party with someone. Now it's all social media. And it's not always about the ask. But if you get a mentor, you get someone, you get your face in front of someone else, they become your quote unquote rabbi, your person that's going to bring you on to the next level. If you have a mentor within ACP or wherever, it's going to help you. I put in for a job with the U.S. Marshals years, probably 15 years ago or whatever. And I got 100 on the exam, 100 on the interview, and I never heard anything back. So I called up HR 2 years later and I go, hey, are you going to, whatever happened to my application? He goes, oh, what's your name? Oh, Piccolo. Where do you want to go? And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you have to understand, you are one of a million people that put in for these jobs. You are just a name and a stack of a million other people that have the same qualifications. The only way you're going to make it to the top of that stack is if someone knows who you are. And she basically said, because I called her, now she knew who I was and she can give me a job. Yeah. So unless someone actually, unless your resume is seen by someone and someone can actually put a face or recognize some sort of recognition to who you are, you're just one of a thousand, one of a 10,000 that put in for one single job.
No doubt. Hey, listen, that's how I got the job at ACP. I mean, I found online that they were looking for a president. I sent my resume in. I got a note back from the search firm saying, thank you so much, but no thanks. And I was like, damn, this is perfect for me. So I started looking up and I found Sid Goodfriend was the founder. He was an old Merrill Lynch banker. I started calling people. You know, I called the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, who happened to be a friend, and said, hey, Dick, you know this guy? You know, but I still didn't get through. And friends of friends who knew him, I didn't get through. And one night, and then it went on for a while, and then I saw it still out there. I was like, what the hell? And so I started figuring out his email address. And I put in all different kinds of, you know.
Yeah.
And I sent him this email saying, I am perfect for this job. And they told me no. And I'm telling you, 9:30 at night, I get an email from Sid saying, hey, Tim, are you available at 2:00 tomorrow? I like your email.
There you go.
And here I am, you know, and the search firm, when he called the search firm and said, hey, I want you to take a look at this guy. They called me up and said, we told you no. We have somebody who's already in line for this position and we're offering. And I don't know how you got in there, but you got in there. Well, here I am. So don't stop. Keep going. You never know.
It's a new mission. It's a battle. Yeah, you know, have to fight little battles to win that war. And
that's where the mentorship is. It. You said it, brother. ACP gives you, we know you got to have a network, right? But anybody's heard me has heard me say, you need four or five people, your own little board of directors. Well, ACP is going to give you your chairman of the board. They're going to give you that person who is dedicated to you for a year, for an hour a month, over a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning saying, hey, all right, knucklehead, slow down. Take this thing. It's 5 pages long. We got to get it down to 2. Look, every job, you just said it, right? Homeland Security, everything. How do you separate yourself? There's going to be 100 people going for that same job. You'll get it because you have the resume and all. Now, when you get in front of that hiring manager, you know, who's going to tell you the right things to do if you've never been on, you know, a ton of interviews?
Absolutely.
Somebody who's gotten that job.
I've been a hiring manager. I've been a hiring authority. I've been, you know, I'm over 20 years in the Fed and trying to explain to people that, okay, here's the reality of how it works is it's kind of tough. And, but it's not rocket science.
No, it's not.
And a lot of it's networking.
Yeah. You got to put your heart into it.
And you have to, remember that you're one of many. Get a mentor, get someone that's going to help you get through this minefield.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's a 60, you know, Sid will say it all the time. That's a 60-60 proposition. You know, both sides got to go a little bit more when it comes down to mentorship and putting in a little extra effort. But look, why, you know, think about it. If you want to go, I don't care if you're in, you know, you're going home to your father's hardware store, which has been in your family for 10 generations. If I'm going to give you the head of sales of Home Depot as your mentor for a year, hell, if you haven't been in that store in 5 years, you have no clue what's going off the shelf. Hell, you can't even work the point of sale. I mean, technology changes. Why wouldn't you want somebody for no cost whatsoever who's at the top of the food chain that can take you by the hand for that year to make sure that you have an easier, that they've made those mistakes already for you. If you don't take it, you see me on all this stuff. It's like, how do I make it clear to you guys that, you know, it's kind of like the Seinfeld show, you know, when Jerry and they go in there, we got a show about nothing. That's what you're starting with, right?
It's a show about nothing, and I love it, but that's where you start.
Right. You got, you know, you have a clean slate, you get a mentor, and you're going to start building something that's going to make a difference. So,
listen, you have to hustle. and nobody's going to give you anything. And no. I always tell people the hustle isn't about making, it's not about making $1 million. It's not about driving a fancy car. It's about building who you are. Who are you? What is your brand? Why does someone want to hire you? Just because you have veteran or anything else behind your name doesn't mean you're the right person for the job. Find out what job you want and then pursue it. Hustle.
Yeah. You got to hustle. It's that old thing too, though. Like nothing is within, outside of your reach. So I was a clerk, right? And there was this guy who used to come into my trading crowd all the time. And no names, but there was a guy who came in, and half the time he couldn't even read the orders he had in front of him. He couldn't, we used to have to tell him what stock he was in. And I used to say to myself, how is this guy a stockbroker and doing this job? And then one day I walked out the back door and this guy came walking out, and a guy came walking out of the exchange and put a jacket on him. And then a brand new Jaguar pulled up. And a valet got out, and this guy got in and was driving and drove away. And I looked in and said, holy crap. If that guy can have somebody walk out and put a jacket on his back and pull up in a brand new Jag and hand it off to him, his keys, hell, I can do that job.
You can.
And that's the thing, guys. You can do it no matter what it is. I was the mine detector repairman. That doesn't. You got to sign these jobs in the military, right? Nobody signed up to be the mine detector repairman.
No.
Right? So that's not who you are. So that's the other thing a mentor is going to bring out to you, is to sit down and say, you know what? I know you got this marketing degree, but hell, you sound like a salesman and you should be working, do this, that. And then you'll make the money because you'll find your niche.
If you look at my resume, you'll be like, that dude, where the hell does podcast host and what was the other shit I used to do? Was a Fox pundit. I've been on Fox a million times. Where does that come at? There's nothing in my resume that gives me any of that stuff.
Right.
And but a lot of it comes from 99% of everything I've done comes from my military upbringing.
No doubt.
Being in the military. And that's what sets us apart. There's nothing wrong with that. It just gives you a different perspective on things. It doesn't make you any better or any worse than anybody else.
No.
But Tim, man, I've let you talk my brain off. I've talked to you forever, man. 32 minutes. After we got through about 20 minutes of tech issues, but modern technology sucks sometimes, man.
Hey, listen, you got to be smarter than the computer at times. I mean, all we had to do was turn mine on and off and get it to work. So
that's like old school. Hey, did you turn the computer on and off? And we're both like, that's a good idea.
No, I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate you coming on. We can find you at ACP. Let's put that acp-usa.org. Tim, I really appreciate you coming on, man. I'm gonna have you back on again. I want to talk about a couple other things. Let's work deep. If not you, then someone else from ACP to kind of just really dig deep into what the organization can do for the veterans, whether that we do it in a seminar or we do it some other way. I'm always here to help and support ACP because you guys have definitely helped me out in the past.
That's great. Yeah, no, listen, you see it right there. It's so easy to get a mentor tomorrow and take advantage of it. You know, this is an opportunity for you to open doors. You know, when you look at the stats for ACP, $84,000 average salary, over 70% with meaning. It's all about meaningful employment, folks. That's our mission. And don't take the first thing that comes along.
Meaningful employment.
It's all got to be meaningful.
Because, Tim, if you could hold on, I'm just going to tell the audience goodbye.
All right, Chase.
Another great episode of The Protectors. Thanks for tuning in. This episode is now available online, either at YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook, and Twitter, and all the other good places. But you can also find it on anywhere you listen to podcasts. So if you're watching this, please head over and subscribe to the podcast episode. And if you're listening, please head over and subscribe to the video episode. Thank you, everybody.